setback, but we know God's able to work it out to His glory and to His good. And we just commit that all unto the Lord tonight. Do you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you know we're serving a prayer-answering God tonight? Do you believe that with all your heart? Brother Junior Davis, God bless you. Good to see you in the service tonight. I spoke with Brother Junior just the other day, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm doing wonderful." And I praise the Lord for his testimony, Brother Junior. You're an inspiration to the rest of us. When we feel of ache and pain, I just try to think of you, and I start feeling better all over again. It's good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Brother Terry, why don't you come tonight? Let's stand, if you will, as we pray over these prayer requests. You commit these things with me unto the Lord. Let's invite his presence and ask him to have his will in this service.
God bless you, Ben. Thank you so much. Can we just all join our faith together as we pray for these needs? Pray one for another. Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to invite your presence into the service tonight. We count it a great privilege and opportunity to be back in the house of God. Lord, as Brother Louis was saying, we don't want to just come once a week. We're thankful that you've put a desire in our heart to come as much as are scheduled. And Lord, even the Bible says, even so much some more as you see that day approach. And we can see why it's even so much some more, because those evil spirits out there trying to distract us and trying to deter our faith and trying to put a negative influence and just many, many things on us, Lord. So we want to stay in your presence as much as possible, even so much some more as we see that day approaching. We're thankful, Lord, that we can be here once again. We still have the freedom in this country to worship you according to the dictates of our heart, in spirit and in truth. How long it'll last? Probably not much longer. But truly, we are thankful once again to have this privilege, this night, to be in the house of God to worship you. We pray, Lord, for Brother Leniel especially now, and the other three Yance brothers that have needs in their bodies. And I ask that you would undertake in their behalf, give them strength and courage and faith, and let it be mixed with your faith, divine faith, that they can see the desired result accomplished. And we pray for each one of these needs, Lord, have been listed. And we pray for Brother Anwar over in Pakistan. The terrorists come in and burn down that building. They hate Christianity, and they hate everything that stands for the true and living God. But Lord, you are the only true and living God, and we're going to stand true by your grace. One testimony at a time, the brothers and the sisters and around the world, we're going to stand for this message and stand for truth, because this message is Christ, and Christ is the Word, and you're our bridegroom and our master and our king and our lover and our all in all. We thank you tonight. We pray for Sister Carol's sister. You know her needs. She's having a real struggle, but Lord, you're the one that can heal all the struggles, because you struggled, but you overcame. You made a way for healing and for salvation, for all that we have need of. Lord, touch her and make her well. And every request that, Lord, has been read tonight, I pray that you would make a way. You've made a way. May we have faith to believe that that way is going to be accomplished, that desired result is going to be made. Bless and anoint your servant tonight, Brother Donnie. Give him the words to speak. Let it be spiritual food in due season. We say it's been good to be in the house of God. May we receive from the hand of God. May we bless your name, be an encouragement one to another. We're here, Lord, to edify one another. We're here to receive from your hand. We're here, Lord, to be a blessing to all that's here. And may somebody be saved tonight that's not saved, and filled with the Holy Ghost, encouraged, touched. Whatever the needs are, grant each one. We'll give you praise, and we're thankful, Lord, to be in this house once again. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting here with us in the service tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements for you tonight. Due to popular demand, we're now moving the fall festival again to October the 11th. So just remember, I think we maybe announced it for October the 4th, but we're going to move it up 1 week to October the 11th. So remember that, on October the 11th, the Fall Festival, the good Lord willing, and everything. If there's any changes, we'll let you know. Now, 2 weeks from tonight, which is July the 20th, we're going to be having a singing here at the church at 6 o'clock. As you well know, Brother Bill Yance has been sick for quite a while. I think he was in the hospital for like 28 days, if I'm right on that, thereabouts, 28 days. and he's been in Quillen Rehab for 2 or 3 weeks now. Brother Mark Yontz wanted to have a singing, and we didn't want to term it a benefit singing, but we're gonna receive an offering in that singing for Brother Bill Yontz, and just to help him with a lot of incredible medical bills that they have been presented with during this sickness. The LaFontaines are going to be here. Brother Terry Tidwell is going to be here. We have some singing here from the church. The Yontz brothers may have a song or two. I don't know. But that's 2 weeks from tonight. Tell everybody you can about it. We'd just like to have a good turnout. It'd be at 6 o'clock. Hopefully it'd be done by 8 or 8:30, because a lot of folks will be heading back to Murfreesboro and different parts of the country to get back home for service on Sunday morning. So we'll have it a little early, and that way we'll get out a little bit earlier. So remember that. Tell everybody you can about it, and you're all invited to be here. It's just going to be a singing where we're going to try to help Brother Bill Yontz on some medical situations that they're going through right now. Are you glad to be a Christian?
Yes.
I'll stand for Jesus and let this old world go by. There's nothing out there that's worth going back to. When we left it, Brother Terry, I believe we left it for good, don't you? How many of you feel like you've left it for good? You want to stand for Jesus? Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight, if you will. I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. I'll claim His promise, He will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'm gonna stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Sing it again. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. I'll claim His promise, He will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. If this world filled with pleasure, we're tested and tried, but more that we have here in this old world, the less we're satisfied. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. Sing that second verse. He will supply. We'll walk together. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by.
It's time to depart from this old body of mine. I don't want to own one thing that I can't leave behind.
Glory.
Oh, I want to be free.
Hallelujah.
To sail through the sky. That's why I'm walking with Jesus.
Oh, yes, sir.
And letting the world
go by. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. I'll claim His promise. He will
supply.
Oh, He will supply. Amen. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world
second verse again.
When it's time to depart from this old body of mine, I don't want to own one thing that I can't leave behind. Oh, I want to be free.
Yes, we do.
To sail through the skies.
Hallelujah.
That's why I'm standing with Jesus. Oh, and let the world go by.
Go by. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you're just singing too good tonight. You're going to have to sing one more. And you brought it on yourself. That's all I can tell you. Amen. But I'm going to let you sit down while we sing this song tonight. Let's sing a little bit of that song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Aren't you glad you're standing on a solid foundation tonight? You appreciate what God's done for you in this hour? Do you really appreciate the goodness of the Lord to your life? What He's done for you? Nobody else can do it, Brother Terry. Amen. Rock of Ages, oh, cleft for me. Oh, let me hide myself in Thee. Which flowed. Sing it now. Hallelujah. Oh, save from wrath and make me pure. Sing that again. Oh, Rock of
to thee for grace.
the Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley has a song for us tonight. If they'll come this time, get it ready to sing for us. Then Sister Lisa Cutts, she has a song. If she'll come onto the platform now, be getting ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service. Our pastor's going to be speaking for us tonight. How many of you are looking forward to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe we're going to have a wonderful time here tonight. Amen. Enjoy our singers as they sing tonight.
Man, I certainly enjoyed Wednesday night service. It's sure a blessing. And my wife got a real touch from the Lord, and I appreciate that. Brother Charlie Torres, this is for you, buddy.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. In prayer I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine, and sing redemption song someday. Oh, I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go, and I daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Safely to a land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend, blessed Jesus.
Help us out. Oh, Jesus, for my
There's a wonderful time that's waiting ahead, called the marriage supper of the Lamb. All the preparations God has made for His bride. Are you going tears from our eyes. Oh, how long for that moment. Don't you? I have a seat at the marriage supper table. It belongs to me. It's my by God's grace. Oh, I have a seat at the marriage supper table. It belongs to me. It's my special. Occupy it by God's grace. Soon I will occupy it by God's grace.
the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Brother Harry, sing us a chorus. Let's help him as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight.
We sing this. I sing it a good bit, so I'm sure y'all know. Y'all help me sing this song. 'Cause Lord, you are everything to me. Yes, Lord, you are everything to me. I love you more than anything, Lord, you are everything to me. Yes, Lord, you.
Loves him with all your heart. All your heart. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Privilege for us to be gathered together again, isn't it? In the presence of God. Brother Aaron texted me after Sunday and said, "You folks wore him out." And I said, "Well, they obeyed the pastor what he said today." So certainly heard some good reports from that service and also from Wednesday. Certainly appreciated that. Appreciate your prayers for us going up to be with Brother Bo Smeaton and his family there. I'm sure he certainly desired your continued prayer, losing his mother, and they were really close, and certainly wanted to continue to pray for him that the Lord will help him. Carol and I was driving up the road, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to talk about there at the funeral, but the Lord spoke three words to my heart. Premier Retirement Community. The time I got done with it, I wanted to move in. Don't you love God's inspiration? Him being so mindful of a family, you know, losing a dear loved one. And Brother Earl Heiss, also part of the service, and Brother Darrell, which did a wonderful job. So we certainly appreciate your prayers there. I'm sure that many of you know Brother Lenuel had a heart attack and had to have some stents put in. I want to continue to pray for him as well. I want to speak to you tonight on the cause is known by the effect. The cause is known by the effect. So whatever effect would be able to look and see about a person or things, then the cause would be known by the type of effect that it is. Sometimes things being right or wrong are hard to differentiate. Sometimes Satan moves in such a way that there might be a scripture against something or a quote against something. But yet, watch the effect of what type of effect it has on that individual or individuals, and you'll be able to identify actually what the cause is. So the cause is known by the effect. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Everyone that loveth. Now remember, this is not the generic word for love. Because if that be so, then every human being that would have human filial love would be born of God. But this is a particular kind of love. Notice, let's read it again. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. Now John wasn't worried about being politically correct. Now, think about it today. I think that we as message folks need to be politically correct in this day. But we need to be politically correct in the examples that our forefathers were.
Yes.
Which would include Elijah, Moses, Jeremiah, Jesus. And of course, you know, Jesus was totally politically correct, right? Correct. John the Baptist, Elijah. So that's my example. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Listen to this, a man running from the presence of the Lord. Brother Bram says, as John of old, when he got too old to preach, he would just sit and scream, they tell me, with all of his might, little children, love one another. Love one another. Don't let nothing come among you. Now think about that. When he got too old to preach, he would just sit and scream, they tell me, with all of his might. Little children, love one another. You mean after hearing the thunders, after dealing with the seals, the eighth day, eternity, redemption, the power of the blood, all of those deep things. And when he got too old to preach, he sat and screamed, seven thunders, seven thunders, seven thunders, seven thunders. He screamed, love one another. Wonder why. Wonder why. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, may the Holy Ghost come in this place tonight and so captivate our souls, our attention, our thoughts. May we be put under such an auspices of the Holy Ghost that we feel ourselves soaring in heavenly places. We know, Lord God, for this to be accomplished, it will take you to do it. For we do not have the ability to move each other into heavenly places in Christ. But Lord, we ask that you would come speak to us tonight. Your words of life. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. John had a tremendous insight about divine love. Each of the apostles, no doubt, as men of God do today, their gift runs in a special type of way. You've heard me preach long enough to where you pretty well know my directions and my mannerisms and the way that I go. other men that you're familiar with, you know that they have certain ways and they repeat themselves over and over again in the direction that they go. Must have been the same with the apostles. But yet, whenever God chose to gift these men, for whatever reason, he chose John in the realm of love. Not saying now that Peter didn't have the love of God, because he did. Andrew, Bartholomew, Paul, different the rest of these men. But there was something that was given to John that was a little bit different than the rest of them. And it must have put him in somewhat a peculiar situation, because he was notably loved by Jesus in a little bit more intent way. And you know, that always causes jealousy and causes problems. And no doubt it was said among the people of that day that Jesus showed favoritism to John. Because we know the Bible sets forth that John was the beloved. Now, to write about love would be one thing. To understand love by revelation would be another entire different thing. But what if God allowed you to experience love to a very deep degree, and then God also revelated you to walk in that love, and then the two were married together? Amen. Then no doubt it would make such an imprint on your life that you and the people around you would never quite be the same again. Now, in this, John was privileged by God to write so many wonderful things. I love the book of John, the Gospel of John. He approaches things in such a different way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, neither of them touched even the Immaculate Conception and the Word made flesh and so many things that John writes. He writes so much. John 14 of Jesus saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And John 15, the divine communion and the vine, the branches. And John 16 and John 17 and John 18. He's so allowed to write so many wonderful, paramount things that are going to be in the unison of the body. But when you look at the things that he's privileged by God to write about, the intimate part of the mystery of that ties into the mystery of divine love. You look at what Jesus conveys to his apostles on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. John is the only one who writes about it. None of the rest of the apostles even write down in depth the same thing that John writes. Now, let me share a few scriptures with you. In St. John 13:23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Whom Jesus loved. Now remember, this is John writing about himself and the position that Jesus has given to him. Now, we don't believe that John was an arrogant, proud type of an individual, a braggart, a person who, you know, puffed up about himself and said things that were not true. But this must have been a little bit difficult for John, because he's going to, in a few more examples as we will see, he's going to unveil a part of his own personal walk with God, which could have been misunderstood by others. Now, it would have seemed that it would have been better if Matthew would have wrote this about John, or Luke would have wrote it about John, but yet they don't mention it. It would have seemed it would have been more fitting if Paul would have wrote this about John, but he doesn't mention it. John writes it about himself. Notice chapter 19, verse 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by," now this is at the cross, "the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother,
woman, behold thy son. Then, of course, the next verse, he turns and he looks at John Sather, rather, and says, son, behold thy mother. Now, here John again notes that Jesus loves him. Did he not love the others? He did. But there was a different degree of love that was given to John by Jesus. Now, this is not personal human preference in the way that we would look at respective persons. But if God is loving John while he's here in this position, there must be a reason for it. Now, no doubt the other apostles before the new birth, we know how jealous they were of each other. And we know how they had problems with each other about exaltation of one above the other and one having a little more of this and that. And you can just imagine in their minds how this situation must have troubled them. But yet, if Jesus chose to love John in a deeper degree or in a different type of way than he did the other apostles, would it have done any good for them to complain about it? Would it have done any good for them to roll out their bottom lip and pout about it, not come back to church for a week or two because Jesus loved John better? It wouldn't have done one bit of good. It might have proved the reason why he did. That's right. Now notice in St. John chapter 20 verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now watch here, John is now writing about him and Peter. And he calls Peter by name, but he identifies himself by position. Not calling himself Peter and John, but he identifies Peter by his name, and he identifies himself as being the one whom Jesus loved. Amen. Now, is this to say that Jesus didn't love Peter? Of course not. We know that Jesus loved Peter. But John is identifying that he has a position with the Lord Jesus. Now, remember, this is even before the new birth. Whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. St. John chapter 21 verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now here they went fishing and Jesus comes to them walking on the water and Peter is turned into being a naked preacher and he ain't got no preacher's clothes on, so Peter jumps in the lake. John tells him it's the Lord and Peter jumps in the lake. Right? What a way to be fishing. My goodness. Now notice John again identifies himself by position. That he is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he said, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Chapter 21 verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter goes and turns, Lord, what will this man do? And Jesus said, it's none of your business. You just follow me. Now, notice why would John over and over again identify himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, calling himself by his name, which really, to humans that are carnal, would be more acceptable to refer to yourself as Terry and Donnie instead of Terry and the preacher that Jesus loves. Now, that could be read that I would be saying that people could read into that, is Brother Donnie saying that Jesus doesn't love Brother Terry the same as he loves him? Have you noticed? He said that several times in the last few services. Brother Terry and the preacher that Jesus loves. Or Brother Amos and the preacher that Jesus loved. Oh, you can imagine some of the message people. Lord, have mercy, their blood pressure would go pump through the roof, wouldn't it? If they heard a preacher on this day said that, and yet they could read it in the Bible that John said it, and apparently it don't offend them. I've never read any websites where people thought this was horrible and terrible, that John felt that he had a special love from the Lord Jesus. How come you folks looking at me funny? Now, is he bragging? Do you believe that John is in the flesh and that he's a carnal man and he wants to impress the readers of this Bible here some years on down the road to believe that he had a special position? No, I don't believe he's done that at all. I don't think God would have ever used the man to the degree that he did. But there must have been a value in writing down and let it be written and read for 2,000 years that there was a differentiation between even the apostles and how Jesus administered to them through this avenue of love. Now, it is true today that there may be men that are more gifted than others in the way of faith. There may be men that are more gifted in the way of miracles, and they may have this and that and the other. But to me, if I was choosing, I would rather go down the avenue of the understanding of divine love than I would miracles. I would rather go down the avenue and the understanding and the mystery of love than I would to walk on water, because it's evident you could walk on water and drown in a few minutes. Peter almost did if it hadn't been for the grace of God. So you could lay hands on the sick, still stand there at the day of judgment, and him say, I don't even know you. You could do miracle signs, speak in tongues of men and of angels, preach the gospel, so on, so on, so on, and yet come right up at the end of the way and not even be born again. So if I had a choice myself, I would choose to go down the avenue of the mystery of love, because I've never found what the Bible said God is speaking in tongues, or God is miracles, or God is this, that, and the other. And yet we know those are things that God does. But God is not speaking in tongues. God is not miracles. God has an attribute of miracles. But when we're talking about this avenue of love, this is what God actually is. Now in this you can see why that the Lord Jesus used this as a way to determine and to actually sever, beginning in the first church age, on down through the rest of the ages, and it would surely consummate at the very last age, that all of those elect of his will be those who will walk in this avenue of divine love. Now, in looking at this, God could have chosen Peter to write about love. He could have chosen Paul. Paul certainly had a great understanding about it. But yet there was something about the ministry that John had. It seemed to parallel and to be able to work in a divine way. And we know that God works with a man in the way that he's called him. And so it seems that God had chosen John and given to him a walk of love, even when the Lord Jesus was here. Now, he was not a man that did not have depths. Don't get in your mind that a preacher that preaches on love doesn't have any depths. And he's a man that, you know, just compromises on everything. This is a pretty bold preacher now. He was a very bold man. If you'll read over here in 1 John, we'll get to it maybe later. But he wrote about a man called Diotrephes. He called him by name. And he rebuked a man, and he said whenever he come, he was going to deal with that guy. So perfect love does not let sin go without it being called out. But yet people don't understand love, because they think love don't never hurt nobody's feelings, and love don't say nothing that'll offend nobody. That's the exact opposite of what true love is. True love will hurt your feelings. It'll make you cry like a baby sometimes. That's right. It'll hurt you. True love, truth hurt. You say the truth don't hurt nobody. I beg your pardon. It hurts everybody. The truth, because our flesh don't like truth. Come on, church. Say amen. Now, let's look at this tonight under the effect of this, that John had not only had revelation after revelation by the love of God, but this man had experienced a divine contact with an experience even before his new birth of experiencing a special type of love from the human body of God. Now, the human body of God had administered to these apostles many wonderful things. But yet, for whatever reason, God's own divine choice, no doubt, John had experienced a way of love through the human body of God that the rest of the apostles did not quite have and understand. So he was called, from what we look at, to be able to write about this love and have an understanding of it. Now, notice in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, he says, we love him because because he first loved us. Now this is part of the mystery of divine love. This has nothing to do with human love. This does not curtail or involve at all human love, because the mystery of divine love does not spring from, well, I fasted and I prayed and I stole a log chain and I took that log chain back and I robbed from somebody, so I took all that back and then I come to God. That has nothing to do with why you love God. In the mystery of divine love, those who love divinely do so because he loved them first. By him loving them first, it released them and allowed them to love from a divine source. Now, if you only love God from a human source, from filial love, then there will be something, no doubt, in time that will come between you and that love. And you know what? It may get the best of you. But if you love divinely, Paul said, I am persuaded neither height nor depth nor principality nor power, things present, things to come, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So in divine love, it is very mysterious. Now, because we use the same English word, people couple it all together, and because we're living in an age of compromise, people think those who have true love, they don't preach against sin, they don't preach against homosexuality, they don't preach against all these things, and if you do, then you're preaching hate. No, I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching love, that God wants to set you free from a life of sin. That is not hate. The man who tells you you can live that lifestyle, go to heaven, is the man who hates you, not the man who loves you. And he will be damned to hell, and you will be damned with him. It's exactly right. Now, whenever we receive divine love, now John says we love him because, now here is the all-inclusive mystery of God that unfolds how it triggered within us to be able to love God. Here is the very way that this could happen. We love him because he first loved us. Now, God so intertwines this divine love and makes it totally inseparable from God and his family. Now watch, this is something that John is going to bring into view that I'm afraid many in Christendom totally, completely miss the whole concept of it, in that you cannot love God and hate your brother. It's totally impossible. God has so made it so in the New Testament that it's totally impossible for you to love God with all of your heart and hate one of your brothers. There is no way possible. It's totally contrary to the word. Well, praise the Lord. Now, don't get quiet already, because the deeper we go, the tighter it's going to get. So y'all pull with me now. Now watch, when God's love then touches us, it actually releases us and gives us the ability to love in the same way that he does. Now this is what Jesus identifies as the new commandment of love. In St. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now we looked at this a week before last, but how did Jesus love his disciples? He loved them without them even deserving that love. He loved them when they were wrong, when they deserved it least. He loved them most. Whenever they were even unfit for it, he loved them. Now he tells us, for us to love one another with the same degree of love and the same temperament of love as I have loved you. So he loved them when they were wrong. He loved them when they were in error. Amen. He loved them when they had done wrong against him. Well, glory, you're getting quieter and quieter. Now remember, this is the type of love which only God can produce. Much of what is being preached about love in this day is nothing but human love on steroids. That's all it is. It's human love on steroids. It has nothing to do with divine love. Listen, friend, I hope before God, before we get done with this, that God will help you to see. This is more important to you than understanding deep mysteries. This is more important to you than quoting the prophet word for word, quoting the Bible word for word. If we cannot do this, we are in darkness. No matter how much we think we're in the light. Oh my, Lord Jesus, help us. Now, it is a new commandment in that it has never been expressed quite in the way that he wants it to be expressed. Now, he says, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. So it is a deeper intensity. Now, the Hebrew word for new in the Hebrew language denotes excellence in truth. New is excellence in truth. So were they not commanded to love one in the Old Testament? They were. But on what basis? Love one another as you love yourself. So look at the foundation now where the Old Testament love was made. That I'm supposed to do to Brother Jim as I love myself. But Jesus does not go that way. I'm supposed to treat Brother Amos the way I love myself. He says, no, don't do it based upon yourself. Do it based upon me. Why? Because his love, he loved the disciples more than he loved himself. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, help us, dear God. Whew. Now, as I have loved you, you are to love one another. And the church said,
amen.
As I have loved you. Now, it was a self-denying love. It was a self-sacrificing love. It was a love with no personal gain. It was a love that was not based upon the condition, I will love you if you will love me back. And I will love you as long as you are faithful. And if you're not faithful, then I will stop loving you. That's not the way he loved. Aren't you glad he don't love you that way today? His love was purely unselfish love. Now, human love cannot be this way. This is totally impossible. The characteristics that we're describing is totally impossible for filial love to be able to attain to. It can only be attained by divine nature. Notice then, it's perfect in the example of the way that the Lord Jesus gives us this type of love. Now, we will know then what type of person we are, what realm of supernatural is having effect on our lives, and we will see the cause of that effect. So the cause will be identified by the effect. So if we're only affected to a deep enough degree to get enough religion, you know, where we can pray for people every now and then, and we can treat a few folks kind, then that shows the effect on us is not having a deep enough degree to change us into the image of perfect divine love. So it is known by the effect it's having on our lives. Praise the Lord. Now notice this, it is a new example, totally, totally new to the world. There's no way in the world that any religions or anything else prior to this could ever be able to do it. Now Jesus had shown to them that they were the immediate objects of his love. It was not, well, I loved Abraham and I loved Isaac and Jacob and y'all are their great, 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 great grandchildren and I love you all because of them. But Jesus said, I love you. I love you individually. So he wants us not only to love our brother, our mother, our father. He doesn't want us to love as a group, but he wants us to love as an individual. And we love others as an individual. Oh, glory. Now, love is not perfect. Listen, friends. Love is not perfect till it appears in action. Love in word form is seed form. But in action form, it reaches its maturity. It is ripe. It is ripened by action on display. Praise the Lord. Now, this is, you know, it's kind of tough on us because we are still humans after getting the Holy Ghost. How many humans we got in here tonight? Dear Lord. Now, y'all have got to solve my curiosity. Are the rest of you angels or demons? Hallelujah. Now, God can love, forgive, hold no grudge, and God can forget what we done against him that was wrong. Now, we can't. Now, it makes it hard on us, because in our memory, if we're not careful, every time we see that person that done us wrong, we will recall what they did. And that will work against us. Now, many people think that they forgive people because they've done this or that or the other against them, but yet they're constantly talking about it. And they constantly are telling other people. Now I just want to ask him one thing. What if you did something wrong? You go to God and ask God to forgive you. But yet you hear that God is telling other people. What, did I say something wrong? I mean, you hear that God told me and God told Brother Amos and God told, and yet you went in your prayer closet and you asked God to forgive you. Oh, you just felt for sure that God forgive you and he'd never tell nobody. Come to find out, he told me, he told Brother Terry, told this sister, told that brother, and everybody at the church knows it. Even after you asked for forgiveness. Now, would that make you want to go back to God again and again and again to ask for more forgiveness? Are we sure we understand what forgiveness is? It amazes me as I deal with people, preachers included, that people say, well, I forgive so and so and I'm moving on. They're moving on all right with that same old truckload of garbage right with them. They don't get it out of their mind. They don't get it out of their spirit. How do you think you're going to move on with that tractor and trailer load of trash with you? Well, praise the Lord. Now, you know when Jesus says that we are to forgive our debtors, we're Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray that you forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors or trespassers, whichever one you quote. So here he bases forgiveness upon us forgiving others. So if we take that thought and look at that thought, then we are to forgive and we're to have a forgiving spirit. Now you notice the way Jesus says this. He doesn't say forgive them when they ask you to. You are to forgive them whether they ever ask you or not. Maybe I should see if Brother Aaron could fly up for in the morning. You mean Brother Jim Babb does me wrong? I mean bad wrong. And he acts like everything's fine. Don't even act like he's done one thing to me. I'm supposed to forgive him. Even if he don't come up and say, Brother Donnie, I've wronged you, brother. Forgive me. He just goes right on and acts like everything's okay. I'm supposed to, from my heart, forgive him. Now you tell me, maybe I'm missing something. Then if I forgive him, would it be right for me to call Brother Pat in the office after church and tell Brother Pat, and then Brother Charlie in the morning and tell you sisters and tell your brothers? And really? Oh, why do y'all do that? Oh, I see. Excuse me. I'm sorry. There's one standard for me and another one for you. You better get this junk straightened up in your life, kid children. If you plan on leaving this world in a rapture, you better get this junk out of your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. As a little boy we used to know down in Kentucky, he told me and Harry many, many years ago, I think Brother Chuck was there, he's riding his bicycle home from a tent meeting one night, coming around the Tug River down there, and it was dark, and somebody ran him off the road and ran him down in the river. And he said, Donnie Farley was his name. He said, Donnie, what'd you say? He said, I said, oh, Jesus, get me out of here. That's what I'm going to be saying in a few minutes. I'm going to look at some of you all. Oh, Jesus, get me out of here. Now watch, in St. John, Jesus says, Chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, how come Jesus didn't say, by your depth? Now, how many mysteries you know? Because you preach so deep, nobody understands nothing you say, and they'll know you're a son of God. I wonder what we've done in this message. Why have we changed the very words of the Lord Jesus himself into making and totally redoing and fashioning the evidence of a person being a son or daughter of God by making them deep or making them this or that or the other? This is what the founder of this truth said himself.
Right, right,
Do we believe this or not? By this shall all men know you are my disciples. Sisters, it's not your long hair. It's not your long dress. And we believe in that. You can have long hair and hate people. You're still not a daughter of God yet. Dear Jesus. Let me read you this quote again that I read to you a week before last. It's so wonderful. Let's produce here tonight members of the church like the beginning, who had brotherly love for one another, that laid down their lives for one another. Men and women who love one another, such divine love till they'd go to the penitentiary or to the gallows for each other. That's the original church. That's easy to see in the ranks of our message, that many claim they've been restored back to the original church, but not by their actions. Because if you cross them or you differ with them, they'll cut you off. They'll never feel the same towards you. They'll never be able to put their arm around you again. And you'll never feel that camaraderie, that union. You'll always feel that little, you know what I'm talking about? That little funny something. They'll look in the eye again, but it won't feel the same. It just won't be the same. Why? You crossed them. What's amazing is how many preachers are that way. Oh my, they're so deep and they just hold you spellbound in their preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how good a preacher can preach. If he can't love and forgive, I have a hard time having confidence in him. Amen. Forgive me. It's my nature. My new one. Now, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So it was an outward sign then as it is today. And believe it or not, friends, brotherly love is a true test of discipleship. It is a test that is so profound that many can pass the close test. They can pass the deep test. They can pass the other kinds of tests, but they will fail on this test. Man. The brotherly love test. You see, this is another avenue that the Lord Jesus chose to sort out his from the rest. This is why John identifies, because Cain was able to go through the sincere test. He was sincere as Abel was. He loved God as much as Abel did. But where did Cain fail? On brotherly love. He didn't fail by not worshiping God. He didn't fail by not going to church. He didn't fail by not believing there was a God. But he thought he could love God and kill his brother. Brotherly love is the testing point. This is why we need to go to church and have fellowship with one another, so they can rub us the wrong way and we can get tested, Brother Pinky. Now you're laughing at that, but this is serious stuff. This is why God never intended for folks to live out away from the body of the church. And I realize, you know, in the age we live, we're very strange times. We have people who stream our service from all over the world. People who call me pastor from England and South Africa and Germany. And I counsel people all over the world all the time. And it's very, very different and unusual. But yet God, is that God's perfect setting? It is not. Is that ideal? It is not. God wants us to be in fellowship with one another, not just for the fun of fellowship, but for the growth of gouging. A brother is born for adversity. Sometimes y'all don't realize it, but you get just as much out of coming to church when somebody crosses you as you get out of church when somebody smiles you and pats you on the back. Brother, I love you so much, because that don't gauge where you are. Them I loves you most of the time don't never gauge where you are. But that one gouge in the side, that one thorn, that splinter, whatever you want to call it. Boy, that one right there checks your oil quicker than anything, don't it? Oh, come on now. You know it's the truth. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know it is. And the Lord Jesus knew that. So this is why, Brother Jimmy, if he doesn't place it on depth and my, you know, how profound you are, and I understand this and I understand that, he never placed it on, but he placed it upon this. Why? He knew this. This is the very tie to the original sin. This is the very tie back to the Garden of Eden. It was not because Abel was more deep than Cain. It was because Cain could not love his brother. Amen. Lord Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 verse 9. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. Now you can tell from the language of the way that John sets this forth. He that says he's in the light, which only that terminology would only be used around those who have heard or been introduced to the mysterion, which is mysteries, which is made known only to those who are on the inside. This would have not been used in the days of the Pharisees, in the light. If a man says he's in the light, what we would say today, in the message. So John says forth then that a person can absolutely say, and notice John doesn't say that the person is actually in the light. He that saith he is in the light. This is the fifth time that John points out the contrast how between profession and fact. The fifth time in his books that he points out a person can say, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that. But the fact of their life says something totally different. Now notice he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. I wonder if I could ask each of you to speak to me or write down the meaning of hate. I wonder how many different meanings would get out of this congregation of people. What you think hate means. Probably most of you tonight do not feel like you have any hate. And the reason you don't, because you have defined it thus to where you're free from it by your definition. Whew. Is it just me or is it getting hot in this place? Woo! Really, do you know what hate means? Now everybody just be real silent so you don't commit yourself. Let me read you the meaning of hate. Intense hostility. An aversion usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury. In other words, somebody's hurt us. Now look at what hate means. Extreme dislike. So you extremely dislike this person. Now, some hate is born out of, don't misunderstand me, born out of a cradle of love. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but they have proven it over and over again with one scientific study after another, that the emotion of hate and love, which are two ends of the spectrum, but yet they are much closer than what scientists and doctors ever thought. And they've done it by clinical tests and proven it over and over again that they will take those people who will volunteer and say they hate this certain person and that person. And they will take a picture of this person or persons and lay it down in front of that individual. And then they wire them up in their brains and all this sort of thing. And then they will take a picture of a person that they love. And what they found was that the brain moves so closely in the same reaction between love and hate. Except the amygdala, whenever it associates an imagery of hate, then it begins to pull on the adrenaline and noradrenaline, and it begins to release cortisol and the things in your body. Now what happens at the same time as the blood comes to the front lobal part of the brain, which helps balance you out to make you sensible, because it's a fight or flight response. But they found that the transmitters in the neurons in love and hate are so close. And then they wondered, how could somebody, a husband and wife, saying they were so in love, seem like, for months or for years or whatever more, and then they go through terrible times, and then they have a terrible divorce, and then all of a sudden they absolutely hate one another. But they found they run like this. It's not like love's over here and hate's over here. It's actually closer in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Now watch. So hate is intense hostility, aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, a sense of injury, extreme dislike, or dislike intensely or passionately. Passionately. Now think. So you would dislike someone passionately. Not just dislike their ways. You don't feel comfortable being around them. But you dislike them and it is with a passion. You know, the way folks go to talking about soccer or money or whatever it is that they like and their passions. And you can tell what really... They're passionate about it. Well, you see, when you, whether you show it out here or not, but in here, when you feel that way of a dislike toward an individual or individuals, whether or not you want to admit to it, you are hating that person. Lord, help us. Dislike intensely or passionately. Have hostility toward or detest that person. So it's not that you just dislike their ways, you don't feel comfortable being around them, but you detest them. Their name is brought up or you see them and actually responses start taking place in your body. Well, I guess I should have preached this down at Sinking Creek maybe. Apparently nobody here is guilty, I don't guess. I mean, y'all ain't saying ouch or ouch or oh me or nothing. Mama, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. And the word brother here refers to those who are in the same professed religion or move. Now it's not just humanity, but it is in the same move that you're in. Now notice how John looks at this. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother has an intense passion against him. He's done him wrong. He's done something. Now, we're made up very strange. I know we are. But we're all more alike actually than what we differ on many, many things. If you will recall, there are people that you have met in life and at their first meeting with them, there was things about them or something within you that set you to dislike that individual. Now, many times it was not that they'd done anything wrong. It wasn't that they was dressed bizarre or weird or nothing that they said. But subconsciously, in your subconscious, there was something that drawed back from whether you was a child or you was a teenager or whatever and identified this individual with another individual who hurt you, and your subconscious flares it up because of these past things that's stored up inside of us and you build up a dislike for that individual. We don't even give them a fair chance. Come on, children. People can do the same thing by affiliation. Where do you go? Happy Valley. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I don't want nothing to do. Now, maybe they had a bad deal with somebody that come to Happy Valley or whatever more. And by association, you're nothing but a dog. They don't even give you a fair chance to prove there are some real Christians that come to Happy Valley. There's some hypocrites, liars, dogs, whatever more, but there's some real children of God that sit in these pews too. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's exactly right. God's got some real genuine people, but by association they will pull that there, and then in the subconscious we identify something about that individual. You don't even know it yourself, but all of a sudden on the inside of you, you begin to feel strange. What is it? The chemistry inside of your body is responding to the subconscious, which has now associated that individual with another individual 20 years ago that done something. You're standing there bewildered. You're standing there and you can feel your face getting red. You can feel yourself flushing and you can feel physical things going inside of your body. Why? Because the subconscious has alarmed you and warned you. Amen. My, my, my. God help us. Whew. Now listen to this. John says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, listen, it's in darkness. So a person can say, I'm in the light. I believe the light of the day. John says that's totally impossible if you hate your brother. How in the world could this be so black and white? Because love is love and hate is hate. And they're exact opposites. And there's no middle ground to where love and hate can get married. None. So it's either one or the other. Praise the Lord. Oh, I know you're searching deep. Now you're getting quiet. I barely be able to pull an amen. Now I'm getting where I give about a dollar and a half for even a nod. Boy, when we get below nods, we're on the bottom of the barrel, ain't we? Now watch, because John, now watch the frame of mind that he's setting here. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness unto now. Why? Because this individual supposes that hatred is compatible with light. So this individual says, I'm in the light. Don't you tell me I'm in the light. Glory to God. I'm deep. I believe this. I'm in the light. I believe. I sure don't like so and so. I dislike them with a passion. They're in darkness. But they think that they can love God. They can be so passionate about certain things and hate everybody that disagrees with them. Now, they're not going to use the term hate, of course, but they hate with the true meaning of hate. Y'all think to hate somebody, you got a pack of 44, you know, you got to lace their hamburger, and you could pull in front of them at Chick-fil-A and try to drop rat poison in their ice cream. And oh God, I'll get them at that. Ain't hate. That's extremity. Satan wants you to believe that so he can hide you, your real hate. Glory to God. We might have a prayer line when this is done. I shouldn't be too tired. There shouldn't be too many more to be prayed for. Now watch. He says, if a man says he is in the light and hateth his brother, is in darkness even unto now. So his claim to be in the light is nullified by hate. Why? Because you cannot love and hate. No, you can hate sin and hate wrong. Sure, God does that. But we're talking about a separate thing than loving. What we want to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Right? But we cannot love God and hate His children. And love don't have blinders on. Love don't look this preacher and that preacher and that preacher and that preacher in our little circle of fellowship and all the rest of them that hates them. Love does not do that. Love will draw a bigger circle. Praise the Lord. Love will love those who don't even pray for you, who don't even laugh for you. I meet folks all the time that won't even shake my hand. And they don't all come to the church here. I meet folks all the time. I met some in the funeral this past week. Oh my, you talking about eyes of hate. Did I catch them this week? Oh yes. In the message, been around the message for years and years, wouldn't even shake my hand. Those who did shake my hand went to the bathroom. I'm not sure if they wanted to wash it off or what, you know. But you realize, and then folks claim such depth, such understanding in the light, and hate your brother. Lord, have mercy, children. God, help us. God, help us. Lord Jesus. You see, when we are in fellowship with God, walking in the light is walking in love. Then it's a basic scriptural principle that any people, whether it's a preacher or whoever it is, who hates God's children is out of fellowship with God. So he's preaching three times a week. Any human being, man, woman, boy, girl, deacon, trustee, preacher, pastor, prophet, whoever it is, that is out of sync with God. Don't you understand why God got on Brother Branham? For losing his love for the people during the complex. And whenever that thing come around, God didn't take sides. Brother Branham said, stand over here by my side. I'll kill every one of them. I'll start a whole new message. God took sides with the people. and said, you forgot what I called you to do. Why? Because even though the people done Brother Branham wrong, Brother Branham lost love. He said, pray for me that I'll regain that love I lost during that complex. Even though he was God's prophet and Elijah and the most gifted man that ever stood on the earth outside of the Lord Jesus, God cannot operate only through the avenue of divine love. Lord Jesus, when you find people who cannot get along with God's children, I don't care what they say, they're out of fellowship with God. That's why I know most of the time whenever I talk and I do marriage counseling and the husband watches fussing, fighting back and forth, fussing, just growling, carrying on, week in, week out, week out. Neither one of them is where they need to be with God. I don't care what they say. Amen. We play tape saver day in our home. We read our Bible. I don't care what they say. They cannot do that and be where they need to be with God. Walking in the light will not allow hate. Let me tell you something, friends. There are people in this message. There are men and wives. There are men in this message who hate their wives. And there are wives in this message who hate their husbands. And there are children in this message who hate their parents. I wonder if God would turn on the great light and shine. How much hatred would he find in this building tonight? How much hatred would God find around the ranks of the message? Goodness. Lord Jesus, help us, God. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, not in error. Now this man is not making a mistake, Brother Pat. He's still in darkness. Now watch, he shows the contrast and he shows parallels at the same time. He shows how that perfect divine love walks in perfect harmony with the light of the age. Then he shows how that hate and darkness merge and blend together. So then we have the two heads of all emotions. All of your emotions inside of your body, all that you feel, come from these two things, love and hate. Every other emotion you have come under this headstone of one of these two. Then a person cannot love in a divine way and love God and hate anyone. Amen. Much less a brother. But Brother Donnie, you don't know what they've done. That has no excuse. You're talking about something they've done in time. I'm talking about something that is eternal. One day all the wrongs that people have done to us will be annihilated. So which is the greater? That which is in time or that which is eternal? Oh, but he done this and he done that and she said this to me and said, it hurt me, I'll never get over it. No, I agree with you, you never will as long as you keep hauling it behind you everywhere you go. But you need to take that thing to the dump tonight and unload it on the devil and say, I am sick and tired of packing this trash around. Glory. You see, John is so certain of the way that this works that he says, he that is in the light says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Not possibly or maybe. He absolutely said this is exactly the way that it is. There's no point to argue. There's no theology that we can do apologetics and try to figure out a way around it. It's this way. A man who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. Why? Because walking in the light excludes all darkness. And hatred comes under the headship of darkness. Oh, glory. Preach, Brother Donnie. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for telling us the truth. We appreciate it, Brother Donnie. Now watch, he wants us to see the affinity between light and love, hatred and darkness. And that there can be no crossing over or merging. So they're consequently, they're incompatible with each other. So you could never take hatred and move it from under the headship of darkness and put it over under the headship of light and then say, well, I hate with a perfect hatred. David did say that. But David didn't have the Holy Ghost. And David wasn't born again. Jesus never told us to hate anybody with a perfect hatred. Praise the Lord. Now, whenever we make the transfer, which is the way that John is setting it forth in this example, that a man says, I'm in the light. Man, I see this and I see that. Notice, friends. Notice how much of the message terminology. Brother, how do you see this? How do you see that? How do you see that? How do you see that? Hey, see that? What are they talking about? They're talking about people who are seeing things in light. And they say, well, I see this. Oh, you think about that. Hey, see that? Oh, well, I see it. No, no, you're wrong there. They're, no, hey, I can't believe you believe that. Well, what in the world? I ain't fellowshipping with you no more. Because light ain't got no fellowship of darkness. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm getting where I don't like you. Here's darkness preaching about darkness. My, think of it, children. Think of it, that John is putting light and love in an affinity. He's putting darkness and hatred in an affinity. So can't you see why that Satan will have many, many, many thousands of people around this message? They love Brother Branham with all their heart. They love God. They would die for the books and the tapes. But they hate your guts. There's thousands of people in this message that hate me, preachers included. And so revelated and so deep and know so much about God. And hate another one of God's children. Amen. Come on, children. It's totally impossible. Hey, it's the same way for us. If there's anybody we hate, we better get rid of it. We better not wait for tomorrow because you may not live through the night. We want to clear tonight. We want to get away from the fact that, okay, I can walk in the light, I can have fellowship with God, I can love God, and I can harbor feelings in my heart. We cannot do it. Let's stand. You want to be eternally secure in Christ? Can I show you the simple path? 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You say by simply loving his brother? Simply loving his brother. I wish it was that simply God, the way you simply just said it. Can you imagine a man or a woman who walks in this light with this love? There is no stumbling in them. There's not even a chance. Now, if you was the devil, and you knew this was the truth, wouldn't you try to avert people away from this? Wouldn't you try your best to just pull them away from that? Would you want to give them everything where they could stand and never fall? Would you want to, you know, enlighten them on the possibility there is no way for you to ever get away from this? If you walk in this, you won't fall, nor will you actually be a stumbling block to anybody else. You won't fall and you won't cause anybody else to fall. Praise God. Let me read it again and we'll close. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. This word is scandalon, which is where we get the English word scandal. Scandalon. It's the movable stick it's the trigger of a trap. And remember, when this was written, Paul was using the common things that was there. So he had in his mind by the gym a trap or a snare that was set for an animal. And a piece of stick that was set right at the entryway. So that that animal would hit it as it was going in to get the bait. Paul said, a man who loves like this and walks like this, there's no trigger. He will not fall, nor will he cause others to fall. Can't you see why preachers have led people astray? Can't you see why preachers have sinned and done wrong? They miss this. If they would have loved their sheep in the right way with this kind of love, they would have never done that because of this sake. No stumbling laid in them. Don't you understand? This is why God has to have preachers that will love the right way. They will love like this. And don't worry about them ever leading you astray, because they will not. There's no way they're going to do it. They do not want to do it. They want to lead you to truth. They don't want to offend you. You know what I'm talking about. That they is not in them. What? Divine love is so in them, the trigger is gone. There is none occasion of stumbling in them. It's a twofold word. Neither will it be used for them to be used as a way to stumble others. Lord Jesus. The cause is known by the effect. The cause is known by the effect. So let's look at what we are then. See how we're affected by this message, by this truth, by this church, by this ministry. We'll see how we're affected, what it affects us to do. And then we will identify the cause. Now, if you're only following me as a man, and if the Lord takes me tomorrow, and then 6 months from now, the church is divided in half, and then a year from now, it's divided in half again. Some of you go this way, and some of you go that way, and some of you go to the world. It proves you weren't following God. You're just following me. Right? So the effect then would lead us to the evidence of the cause. But if God takes me tomorrow and you keep journeying on, if God took Brother Darrell, God took the rest of one of these preachers, you know, you keep praying, God's going to give us somebody because we're His elect. And you keep pressing on, that proves the effect. So it'll point to the cause. The cause was you had a real new birth. You wouldn't just move momentarily by my gift or somebody else's gift. But the real effect had a lasting, permanent effect on your life. And the cause was God. Oh my. Think of it, friends. Let the Spirit of God search each of our hearts tonight. Now think. Not from the way you define hate. But looking at it really in the term of its meaning. You'd be surprised how difficult it is to find the meaning of hate. It's amazing to me. We have so many hate laws that are being created. You realize right now they're trying to pass laws that will make basically the Bible hate literature. They've got it up before the Canadian government right now. So they would classify a certain group, no matter what they would be. So this will become hate literature. So for you to have it, that means you're propagating hate literature. And how many people in the message say, that's awful, that's terrible, that's terrible. And yet they themselves eat up with hate. Because brother so-and-so did this, and sister so-and-so did that, and this preacher, I'll tell you, he offended me. This preacher committed adultery. I'll never trust another preacher. I hate all preachers. You're in darkness. You're in darkness. But you think you're in the light. May the Lord, with His great light, pass over our hearts tonight. May He begin with me. May He begin with me. As far as I know, I don't have any hate against anyone. But I want Him to go beyond what I know. And to go what He knows. And if He goes, passes by that great light and finds something in there that I say, well, Lord, I don't hate that person. I just don't enjoy being around them, or I dislike them. And He looks at it and says, you dislike them passionately. In other words, I hate them. Praise the Lord. Are you willing to pass over under the light tonight? Or are you scared? You ever find a mass in your body or a lump or something other and you want to find that out? But in other words, another way about it, you're scared to find it out. You're afraid it might be this or afraid it might be that. Are you scared
to pass under God's CT scan tonight. Let God do a whole being scan on us. Our spirit, our soul, our body. Let him look into our brain and our spirit. Brother Bam said, somebody sent to him the other day, there's a little something like a vial in your heart, he said, as it were, full of oil, called love. And he said, if that's ever broken, it can be healed, but you carry that scar the rest of your life. But it depends on what you do with that scar. You want to focus on it, make it bigger and bigger and bigger every year, or say, by God's grace, I want to go on. Any of y'all ever been let down, disappointed by people? Sure, yeah. Probably the only one that ain't a 6 months old baby. Give it long enough, it will be. But if you can understand it, God can bring you out of those times. This is why people pull off from the body. Don't want nothing to do with nobody. Many of them have been hurt. But you can't grow by staying home. You got to come to church and fellowship and even be crossed sometimes. Crossed, not cross. Let's bow our heads if you would. I don't want you thinking about your wife now, your children, or me or someone else, but won't you just let the Lord deal with you? These are part of our affirmations, friends, of who we are. John was not ashamed to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I want to call myself the son or the preacher whom Jesus loves. Don't you want to be a child of God whom Jesus loves? Feels intimate towards you. You're special in his eyes. May the Lord just be able to search each of our hearts. Has your boss done you so wrong, or the person you work with that's made fun of you and ridiculed you? And through the word tonight, you realize you thought you just disliked them. But you've realized it's stronger than the dislike. You dislike with a passion. It's a heated, vehement something. Someone who did you wrong in a business deal, or, you know, a preacher who done something to you, or your mom or your dad or whatever more. And yet you know that hatred and envy and strife in our hearts, it hurts us worse than the person that we hate. Much worse. Not only in this building, but those of you sitting in your home or in your car, wherever you are in different parts of the world, may the Spirit of God deal with your heart. If you'd like to be remembered before the Lord in prayer tonight, would you just raise your hand to Him? Let's just all report to the doctor's office. Doctor God. We might need to have an ER trip tonight. You come to church and you didn't think you're scheduled for a Holy Ghost CT scan, but after this word you think, you know what? If the doctor orders it, I might need it tonight. Let's just take our turns passing under the light of God's word. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, tonight you'd begin with me. I don't want to be rude or cut the line or get in front of anybody. But Lord, I feel it would be imperative for me, if I hate anyone, for me to pass under that light, for your spirit to be able to show me. I've spoke against wrong and I've spoke against things that people do, even at times made personal references. But Lord, if I know my heart, I don't hate anyone. But I'm asking you to move beyond that tonight. And I'm not going to come and tell you what's wrong with me, but I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, help me. Is there anyone that I hate? Is there anyone that I dislike passionately? Because they've said this or done that or done me wrong or whatever. Lord, show me. Bring their face before me, their name. Show me, Lord. I'll contact them. I don't care who they are, where they are around the world. I'll make it right with them, Lord God. If need be, I'll get down on my knees and crawl and beg them to forgive me. I want to walk in light, Lord. Lord, this is so terrible that we can sing about the evening light and talk about the evening light and think we're in it and yet have our heart tainted by hatred and we're still in darkness. Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, I realize even as preachers aren't born with perfect characters. Preachers' gifts don't make them perfect. Preachers have to come the same way. I pray for the God called men around the world in this message. Help us as leaders, Lord, not to hate. A preacher stands in a position of opposition anyway. A position where he's going to be criticized and ridiculed. It's difficult, Lord, after you're shot at for so many years and called so many names and so many lies told on you, to challenge to keep your heart pure and sensitive right before you. I pray for your men servants that you'd help them. As I realized watching Brother Branham, it wasn't women. It wasn't money. It wasn't popularity. But Lord, what got him in the deepest of his despair, Lord Jesus, was being burnt out, building that complex against the people. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and every other minister that's called of God. Help us, Lord, that we don't turn and hate those who speak against us and try to hide behind some scriptures and quotes, because it'll grieve the Holy Spirit away from us. Help me, Lord, to preach as stern as you want me to preach. I want to say things as hard and as firm as you want me to say them. But Lord God, I don't want to hate no one. Because I know if I allow one little speck of that in my life, it'll drive the Holy Ghost away from me. Help me, Lord Jesus. I can be stern but sensitive. Help me, Lord, that I'm unbending, that I do not compromise, but I say it from a heart full of love. That I'm not arrogant or filled with selfish human pride. That I would say anything, Lord, in preaching. You know my heart. You know my heart, and I say it before you tonight. If I lie, strike me dead on this pulpit. I have never studied a sermon, never preached a sermon to try to get even with anyone. I have never studied and put together a sermon or a series because in my flesh, I want to get even with this person or that person or another person. I have not done it. And God, help me that I never will. Help us, Lord. We want light and love. We don't want darkness and hate. Many of these people have been hurt, Lord. They've been let down. They've been disappointed by brothers and preachers and friends and sisters. And they're towing behind them all that garbage. And every time they talk about it and hash it out this way and hash it out that way, they just keep that wound open. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to truly move beyond all these things, Lord Jesus. Teach us to love. Teach us to forgive. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands now in the presence of the great King? Maybe you stand here tonight and your heart has been smitten. But let me just give you a little assurance. The Lord Jesus loves you just as much. Just as much when you're guilty of doing wrong as he does when you're guilty of doing right. That's the kind of love he has for you. And then he in turn tells us to love the same way. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I want to love like you, Jesus. Unconditional. Love beyond weakness. I want to love my brothers when they deserve to be punished. I want to love my enemies when they deserve judgment. I want to love those that would despitefully use me and cast my name out as evil. I want to pray for them. Because this is your example. And this is a badge of discipleship. This is what you said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you have love one for another. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Purge any hate out of our lives tonight, God. Oh, we know we hate wrong and we hate sin and we hate the devil. Oh, that's not what we're talking about. But it's this other kind of hate that we think we can love you and hate our brothers. That's Canaanite. That's the way of Cain. He could love God, go to church and worship God, and sit and look at a brother in the church, in the very church he was attending, and hate him, and purpose in his heart a murdering plot to kill him while he's right in church. Because he was convinced he could love you and hate his brother at the same time. Oh, Jesus. Purge us, Lord. Purge us from worldly things, God. Help us not to be so narrow-minded that we think worldliness is only television. Worldliness is only pornography. Worldliness, Lord. One of the first attributes of worldliness was hating your brother. I don't understand how preachers think that they're not affected by worldliness and their church ain't affected by worldliness because they don't have to preach on makeup and lipstick. Help us to see it was not lipstick and makeup and television in the Garden of Eden. It was not at the first church that was built outside the Garden of Eden. It was one brother hating another one. Running him down, talking about him, and finally killing him. Will we ever wake up, Lord? Will preachers in the message ever wake up and realize what worldliness is? Help us, Lord. We're not responsible for nobody else. We're just responsible for us. But help us, Lord. We want to see tonight, God. We want to see. We profess we're in the light. Open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Wash me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Forgive me of my shortcomings, Father. Forgive me of my failures, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wash me tonight, Lord God. Anybody else want to go with me to the bathhouse, as it were? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wash us with the water of your word, Lord. Any ill feelings that we have one toward another. Lord God, wash us tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The cause will be known of the effect. Help us, Lord. When people can look at us and say, as the pagans looked at the early Christians, and one thing they noted about them, it wasn't their deep theology. It wasn't so many mysteries that they preached. But one pagan leader after another, recorded in an authenticated history, said how they love and how they love one another. It was a badge of discipleship. That was the early church. In Malachi 4, this is supposed to turn us back to the faith of the original fathers. Hallelujah. Is it just water baptism the way they baptized? Is it just believing in one God?
Would not it include this on love as well, Lord? Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Think of the words, friends. Give until no more that I can give. I want to love, love, just no more love. I could never, ever outlove. Let's sing it together now with all of our hearts. Make it your prayer as you sing it. I want to live the way. Till I hate no one. I have no grudge against anyone. No hard feeling in my heart. No hatred. No envy. No strife. No more to give. I want to love. Love till just no more love. I could never. Lord God, I'm going to give. There's just no more to give. I want to love, love. Yes, Lord. More love. Affirmations to add to your list. I will walk in the light. I will love with divine love. I will not. I will not hate my brothers or my sisters. I will love the way He loves. I will love unselfishly. I will love when people do me wrong. Fewer and fewer of you saying amen. Amen. I will forgive even if they don't ask me for forgiveness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to walk where He walked. Yes. I'm going to talk the way He talked. Yes. I'm going to love the way He loved. Amen. Because I am born of God. I am born of God. John writes a few verses below this and he says, little children, I write unto you because your sins are forgiven. And in the Greek it says, little born ones. Little born ones. Oh, aren't you glad to be a born one? Amen. Little born ones, I write unto you because your sins have been carried away. The Greek says, and no longer identified as being yours. Praise God. Your sins are carried away and no longer identified as being yours. Amen. Let's sing it together as we go. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Anybody that ain't got enough meat left on your body to make it out to the car, we'll pack you out. You'll be dismissed one row at a time. If you need help to get to your car, raise your hands and the deacons will bring stretchers and pack you out. Praise the Lord. I get to go first. One thing I love about this word, I love it. You know what, Brother Pat? It cuts me. My, I get cut. You think y'all getting hurt tonight? How would you like it? You've been sitting here studying this for several weeks. Every time I picked it up, I've got cut. Every time I've handled this sword, I've got cut looking at it. Got cut all day long looking at it. And then come to church and get cut again while you're getting cut. But I love it. I said, I love it. Praise God. Amen. I love it. Thank God. Praise God. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, I love God's Word. I love God's Word. I love God's Word. Don't you, brothers? I love it. I love it, Brother Larry. Amen. Let's sing together as we go. Lord willing, service in the morning. Brother Pat, bless you, buddy. Let's sing it together as we go. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, He's like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Brother Louis, it's a peace. Come sing. He's saving me. God bless you, saints. From all sin and shame.
Mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh yes, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh yes, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.